If you could just take a minute, maybe just to introduce yourself and tell us what you've been doing with your career for the last, 10 years, 20 years, and then I'll start asking you questions.
Okay, thanks. So for the last 20 years, I've been doing patient care, research, and teaching. And my mission is to bring holistic vision care to the mainstream. I have a pretty active social media following. I also have a podcast, and I'm just inspired to help people take back their vision.
Great. Okay. I'd like to try, if it's okay with you, to ask you quite a number of questions. So instead of feeling like you have to cover everything on every question, I'll ask you a lot of questions. You can answer just that, and then we'll go on to the next question so you have a chance to talk about a lot of things. Does that sound good?
Yeah, fire away, Steve.
Here we go. So could you elaborate on what the functional medicine approach to vision entails beyond traditional optometry?
Well, there are two parts to it. The first is functional nutrition, and that relates to how the gut and how our diet affects the microcapillary circulation and the mitochondria function in the eyes, because after about age 40, we start developing oxidative stress and inflammation. And then we go to a traditional eye doctor and he starts diagnosing with a variety of conditions. Or, if you wear glasses or contacts, your eyes get progressively worse. So in functional nutrition, I'm looking at what are the best foods we should eat, the best lifestyle practices? And so that's the first category. The second category is, when you get your exam, where most eye doctors just have you read the distance chart, and that's really your eyesight. It's not vision. Vision is how the eyes and the brain and the body integrate and work together. So it's a brain experience. So, how you use your eyes functionally affects the structure anatomy of the eyes eventually. So, if you're in a repetitive state of movement with your eyes and vision, or you're wearing glasses or contacts that perpetuate or reinforce a weakness, then it just gets worse and worse. So, in functional vision therapy, what I've developed is a way to help re-educate the habits and bring people to a better space around their vision functionally, and this reverses the structural deterioration.
Thank you. You've seen improvements in cataracts and macular degeneration with nutritional changes. What are the foundational dietary recommendations you typically make?
Well, number one is eliminating moderate to high glycemic index sugars. Number two is reducing inflammatory foods and, the bad fats. And then number three is to protect yourself from the damaging blue light emitted from our screens. And using iridology, analyzing the patterns of the iris, we can look at your constitutional type to see whether or not what specific health practice you can do to mitigate any deterioration. And then in addition to the constitution, we can look at the different patterns, genetic tendencies, and nurture points in our glands, organs, and digestive areas. And then we can really fine-tune and pinpoint what foods you should eat, what lifestyle changes you should make. And in all of the cases, I recommend boosting mitochondria function in the eye, either through red light therapy. You could also do methylene blue, which is kind of an it kind of amplifies the red light therapy, or you can do certain foods that stimulate mitochondria function. So if you do all those things, you are being proactive in interrupting and in many cases reversing the deterioration in these eye diseases. I'll say one more thing. With cataracts, if you catch it early, if you increase your glutathione and vitamin C, those two ingredients have been found to be really potent for slowing down the aging process in cataracts or macular degeneration.
Thank you. Could you explain the importance of carotenoids like lutein and zeaxanthin for maintaining macular and lens health?
Sure. So the carotenoids help protect the macula by creating kind of like a similar metaphor would be like wearing sunglasses. So it deflects the damaging blue light. Now, if you've had cataract surgery, the intraocular lenses don't even have any blue protection in them. So this is where lutein and zeaxanthin become even more important. Now, dosage. On a daily basis, you should be doing about 16 milligrams of lutein and about 4 to 6 milligrams of zeaxanthin daily. A couple things though, these are fat-soluble vitamins, so you want to make sure your liver gallbladder are working well because you can be either taking the supplements or eating the rainbow vegetables. But if you're not absorbing the fat-soluble vitamins because the liver gallbladder is not working are not working well, then what's the point? So you've got to make sure your liver gallbladder are working properly so you can absorb them. There's one other one that you haven't mentioned, but I think I should mention it. It's called astaxanthin. So astaxanthin is a third carotenoid. It's actually a marine carotenoid. You can get that from wild-caught salmon, the pink seafood. You can also, if you're vegan or vegetarian, you can get it from algae. So you want to get 4 to 6 milligrams a day of the astaxanthin. The astaxanthin, along with the lutein and the zeaxanthin, work synergistically that will protect your macula. And if you've been diagnosed with either dry or wet macular degeneration, you should start taking those carotenoids immediately.
Thank you. Why is glutathione considered a crucial antioxidant for eye health, and what dietary sources or supplements might you recommend?
So glutathione is a powerhouse antioxidant. It's produced in the liver. And some of the best foods that you could get glutathione from would be either the cruciferous vegetables or garlic, onion, those things. Or I would recommend a liposomal glutathione. So that means that it's kind of fat molecule and it's sublingual. And so I'm not recommending any companies, but you can do your research. But you want to get a liposomal glutathione because it's going to be protected in a fat molecule. So when you swallow it, it's not going to get eaten up by digestive enzymes. So either or, another thing you could do is get IV glutathione, although it doesn't stay in the body that long. But certainly, I've had many patients going for IV glutathione, and they will say immediately their eyesight is much clearer. So, glutathione is one of those really powerhouses of antioxidants, and it's in a high concentration in the lens of the eye, as is vitamin C. So, if you're developing cataracts, you're probably low in those two antioxidants. So, I would start boosting them either through supplementation and or foods.
Okay, you might have just answered this, but how do omega-3 fatty acids and DHA specifically benefit the health of the optic nerve and retina?
Well, the retina is made up of about 50% essential fatty acids. And in the neuroscience literature, they're always talking about how omega-3 is really good for the brain. The brain is maybe 50% fat. And so the omega-3s, first of all, for glaucoma, it is a requirement that if you've been diagnosed with glaucoma, you should start taking at least 2 to 3,000 milligrams a day of a really high potency DHA, EPA, primarily DHA. And then with any kind of retinal disease. Again, omega-3 is critically important as an anti-inflammatory agent, but also just feeding the retina. Also, omega-3 has been shown to help mitigate some of the dry eye symptoms. Now, dry eye is a complicated condition. We can talk more about that because there are many levels and layers on why we develop dry eye. But, I think that everybody should be on a good omega-3 because we don't produce it in the body. And, you need to do your due diligence on companies that do their third-party testing, but it's certainly it's essential for eye health.
Thank you. What are the primary metabolic factors contributing to cataract development, and how can these be addressed holistically?
Well, one of the main ones, and I've heard some of your speakers talk about it, is the process called glycation. So in the lens, what happens is the glucose molecule binds itself to the protein molecule of the lens, and this creates cloudiness. And, in all the patients I've seen over the years, and this is also in the literature, if you have a difficult time with glucose metabolism, you're probably going to develop cataracts and possibly even, diabetic retinopathy or wet macular degeneration. So the key here is that you need to really take care of your pancreas health and, be aware of what you're doing around your sugars, even carbohydrates. A lot of my patients will say, well, I do a fruit smoothie, bananas and, all these sugary fruits. So we try to move them off of that. I would say berries are probably okay. Citrus fruits are probably okay. But you need to really monitor this glycation situation. And also, it can be a cause of eye floaters because that glycation molecule will attach itself to the protein molecule of the vitreous, the gel sac. And this also is a creation of floaters. So glycation wreaks havoc on the eyes as it does on the body, and it really accelerates the aging process.
So we've had a lot of speakers talk about diet, and we've asked them a lot of questions. And when it comes to supposedly healthy fats, meaning raw seeds, nuts, raw organic seeds, nuts, avocados, olives, those four things, that's question one. And then question two would be olive oil, hemp oil, flax oil. So question one, seeds, nuts, olives, avocados. Question two, supposedly healthy oils such as hemp, flax, olive. How do these affect eye health?
Well, it's obvious, big time. When we do seeds and nuts, again, I like to do dehydrated and organic, if possible. Chia seeds are a great source of omega-3, and of course, walnuts. We'll recommend something like a smoothie where we'll use a few seeds and nuts and cacao, 70%, and that's a nice way to get your fats and all the great stuff that's in cacao. Avocados, you've got lutein in avocados, which is great. And when I travel, I always bring an avocado on the plane, and that's one of my snacks. And in terms of the fats, three, six, and nine, again, I've heard some of your speakers talk about how we get too much six or nine, not enough three. I think it's a balancing act, but I love things like organic olive oil, hemp seed oil. I mean, it's all moderation and high quality. So I don't think we get enough fats and oils in our diet. I think it's one of the areas that we forget about, or we're eating fats that aren't really high quality, which are going to accelerate oxidative stress and inflammation. So I'm with most of your speakers around we need more healthy fats, three, six, and nine. And working with a functional medicine doctor that can help fine-tune, exactly what you need. But it's essential for your eye health.
Okay, thank you. You challenge the idea that vision must deteriorate with age. What are some fundamental strategies to maintain or even improve vision in older adults?
Number one, only wear your glasses when you need them. Take them off and go without your glasses in non-demanding and non-threatening situations. Number two, get morning sunlight at least 30 minutes every morning. Number three, limit your screen time. Take frequent breaks if you're on screens, phone, tablet, or computer. Number four, your lifestyle is such where you want to get out into nature and get away from the EMFs because that actually affects your eyes. And number six, heal your emotional health because emotions definitely have an effect on the eyes. And number seven, cultivate your liver, gallbladder, thyroid, and pancreas health. And we see this again in our iridology readings, and we can tell if there's, genetic tendencies or nurture points. But, doing a liver cleanse once or twice a year is awesome for clearing up your eyesight and reversing the aging in your eyes.
What, just a 30-second, what's your version of a liver cleanse?
Well, a simple one is get some warm lemon water in the morning. Add bitter green vegetables to your salads, for lunch. And before bed, put a drop or two of castor oil on your liver and put a heating pad or a hot cloth over it for 10 or 15 minutes, which is like a castor oil pack. Those are really simple practices for supporting liver health.
Okay. So the next question, I guess, is the question is, what are the specific mechanisms by which blue light from digital devices can be damaging to the retina and contribute to macular issues? But let's just the term blue light was not a term we were using 10 years ago. It wasn't a term that most people even heard 5 years ago. And now all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but we're hearing people say that blue light is an issue and you need special blue light blocker glasses. What is blue light? Why is it a concern? What should we do?
Not all blue light is bad, but if you look at the nanometers between 405 and 455, that is a chaotic blue wavelength. And when that blue wavelength touches your eyes, it creates dryness. It also can, over time, create eye strain or eye fatigue. And so, in the short answer is that when you expose yourself to the 405 to 455, you're setting yourself up to have this, I call it a neurotoxin, that's coming into your eyes. Now, the French government did a 400-page paper on the ill effects of blue light from children to adults. In the US, and I just attended a conference, it was a mainstream allopathic eye conference. They did not really think blue light has some, issues. However, blue light definitely is going to affect your pineal gland. It tricks the melatonin, and it can create sleep problems. The thing with blue blocking glasses is that it's in the marketplace. So there's a lot of predatory products out there that say, they do this and they do that. Even the best blue blocking glasses only cut out about 30% of the blue light. So it's not 100%. That's where you have to take your carotenoids. You have to, get out in the natural sunlight. I do think that blue protecting lenses are certainly worth it. You can also get things on your screens. You can also get software that will deflect some of the blue light. But there isn't any one thing that's going to completely block you from the blue light. So you've got to have good visual resiliency, good visual skills. I wouldn't wear progressive lenses. Those are the invisible bifocals when you're working on the computer, because that's going to stress your eyes. So there's some things that you can do functionally. There's some functional vision therapy exercises that you can do, obviously, nutrition and diet. And it's just like anything else. You don't want to be running marathons with your eyes. And that's what people do on their screens. So it's all moderate, but I would say that blue light definitely has an ill effect. And if you've had cataract surgery, you want to definitely protect yourself from blue light because the IOL they're putting in doesn't correct you or protect you, and you're not told that in the surgery. So those would be some of the things I would spotlight in blue light. It's definitely an issue.
By the way, how many eye doctors in the country have your knowledge base? Is there a lot of people that know this, or is this unusual? Because I haven't heard, I wasn't, I'm not aware of that many that speak with the wealth of knowledge on this that you have.
Well, I can't speak for others. I am doing a practitioner training now, so I know that the people that I'm training, they're gonna get my knowledge. There is an organization called covd.org, and they're a group of behavioral optometrists who do some form of vision therapy. To what degree, I don't know. There's also a group called the College of Syntonic Optometry, and they do light therapy. Again, I don't know what their database is. I know for me, I had some really great mentors who aren't alive anymore, who really, I was 28 years old, and I had five 70-year-old behavioral optometrists, developmental optometrists, so I got a big transmission there. And the other thing is, I do have a broad perspective. So I've studied acupuncture, craniosacral, aromatherapy, functional medicine, energy medicine, and many other things. So I look at myself as a physical therapy optometrist and a naturopathic optometrist. I don't know too many people who wear those hats, but that's what I do, and I've been doing it 40 years, so I've got a big base of patients, and that's why I keep doing it, because it's great. And on social media, we have over 280,000 followers, so something is getting struck there on the chord of the information I'm conveying.
Thank you. What are some common myths about eye health that you frequently encounter and would like to dispel?
Number one, you don't have to live out your doctor's diagnosis, doctor's allopathic diagnosis. Number two, your eyes don't have to get worse as you get older. They can actually get better. And number three, you can improve your vision at any age. I have patients between 85 and 90 that are improving their vision. They're either reducing their prescription, they're getting their driver's license renewed, even if it's just daylight. They've had pretty severe diagnoses that we've been able to reverse in terms of diseases. So, when you go to the regular doctor, again, if they don't see it in their mind that you can improve it, then of course they're going to stay in their indoctrinated ways. I've had the good fortune to see a lot of healing with people's eyes and vision. So I can recognize if somebody is open to do it and their body intelligence says, "Hey, I want to do this. I'm doing it in other areas." We find this all the time, that even giving somebody a reduced prescription can actually improve their eyesight and vision. And this happens all the time. And then if they want to go deeper, the longer they work with me, the more benefits they get.
Thank you. Beyond diet, what are your top five nutritional supplement recommendations for overall eye health and why?
Okay, so a disclaimer. I do not distribute any products because the product markets that I see do not meet my criteria for safety and protection of the consumer. So, that being said, I'm just going to speak generally here. And what I would say is that, number one, and I'm going to go in a little different direction here. I think the thyroid health is really important. A lot of people have low thyroid, so seaweed, dalsin, kelp are really important. In terms of liver health, the three herbs that I love. So I'm going more herbal than just, vitamins and minerals. burdock root, yellow dock, and milk thistle. That combination, if you want to do a really good liver cleanse, that's a great combination. I think that if you can, do like eye compresses, things like dandelion root or golden seal, chamomile, eye bright, although that's hard to get, even colloidal silver, if it's a really high quality, that can be really good at, as an antibacterial agent. I also do a lot with essential oils, and my number one essential oil is frankincense, and I'll put it on the temples, massage it on the back of the neck, and on the third eye. We did a post on Facebook on frankincense, that very thing, and we got over 1 million views. So something is resonating with people using frankincense as a way to improve the vision. Obviously, we talked about omega-3s. Those are really good. For glaucoma, adding things like ginkgo, bilberry, taurine. For macular degeneration, saffron and turmeric are really good. Bilberry is great for night vision and improving peripheral vision. So, I mean, there's a lot of different avenues around the supplementation, but if you press me, I'm still saying no processed foods and rainbow diet. I love doing smoothies, like vegetable smoothies, like using ginger root, turmeric root, beets, celery, cabbage, wheatgrass, and use a hot tea. So if you've got, say issues with your bones, I would do something like oat straw tea. If you've got respiratory issues, mullein tea, and that's a hot tea that you would put in the blender or the Vitamix. Getting those plant enzymes is really, really important in the morning. I find that people aren't getting enough really good enzymes. And you can take supplemental enzymes, but it's not the same as, getting into your Vitamix and working that way. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's my perspective on what you asked.
Thank you. What are your thoughts on wearing contact lenses full time versus allowing the eyes periods of rest without them?
Well, I definitely think contacts are great, part-time, sports, and social. You don't want to, for nearsightedness, you don't want to get overcorrected for distance with contacts, because then you're going to need reading glasses over the contacts. So tell your doctor you want to be a little bit undercorrected for distance and nearsightedness. In farsightedness, if you wear contacts, again, you don't want to wear something so highly magnified. Because then you're going to lose your distance. And you don't want to do monovision where you're correcting one eye for distance and one eye for near. And then wearing the contacts part-time is a good strategy because what happens is when we wear contacts full-time, we get a false sense that our eyes are really good. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. That's what's great about the glasses, because you can take them off in certain instances. You get to allow your system to relax. And your point is well taken around the contacts, because it can create a dryness. It can affect the ocular microbiome. That's right, we do have a microbiome. And so taking the lenses off, allowing your eyes to breathe, and just being moderate when you wear the contacts, I think they're a great optical system to use.
Just as a general answer, not best case scenarios, how likely is it that we can improve our eyesight? I know a lot of what we're talking about is how to prevent our eyesight from getting worse, but in your experience, not the couple of cases where everything went great, the average person who's using glasses and contacts, are you saying that we can maintain our eyesight, or are you saying you could actually have better vision? What are we? What is the re the your experience been?
So who's the population? Is it in this conference, or is it more in the general mainstream where they're not in this conference? Who are you targeting here?
a motivated person that was saying I'd be very interested in improving my
Okay.
health.
If they're motivated and they have some, background in holistic health, then I would say it's probably a 95% chance that there can be some improvement. And what I see with people when they take that on, the release around them actually experiencing the improvement reduces their stress by about 250%. And I see it all the time. Like people come in, I don't know exactly what you do. I've heard good things. I'm interested. My mindset is I want to improve it. Great. Then I can at least give them three things that they will experience some level of improvement, and the stress release that they get from that is profound.
Thank you. Tell me or tell us about LASIK or the equivalent of LASIK, what it is, how well it works, if there are side effects, and also for someone who's already undergone LASIK and is experiencing returning vision issues, what holistic strategies you might recommend.
So LASIK is a refractive surgery in a long line of refractive surgeries. It used to be called PRK back in the day. Basically, what the surgeon does is he's changing the shape of the eyeball, the front of the eyeball, to reduce the prescription in the eye. Now, one of the sayings we have in our practice is it's not the eye that causes the prescription. It's the programming behind the eyes that causes the prescription. And that's an important point because if you do believe that it's the programming that causes the prescription, well, what you're changing is just the end result symptom, which is the prescription in the eye. That's what you're doing with LASIK. But you're not going back to the operating system and reprogramming that. So now, you have the LASIK surgery, and the operating system is still operating in the old model, which is I'm going to still have the same programming. And then you've got this new hardware that's like, it's not fitting. So, what you have to do is you either have to ignore the programming, and then you'll probably stay more in a success space. That sweet spot where you go, hey, LASIK's great, there's no problems. But you'll see it in other areas, either in the body, in tension that you carry, or other weird things that may show up in the eyes. Side effects, yes, there are many in LASIK surgery, like dry eye, starburst, and a revert back to, again, the operating system is much stronger than the LASIK procedure, so that you move back into the prescription that you had before you had the surgery. Now, there are physical therapy exercises that I've developed that can help people post-surgically integrate what the LASIK surgery has done to the eye. We have eye surgery, but we never do physical therapy after it. In fact, it's invalidated. It's taboo if you bring it up with your surgeon. They always say, oh, that doesn't work. It's, mumbo jumbo. But you go have a knee operated on or a shoulder and you go to physical therapy. Remember, I said about 10 minutes ago, I'm a physical therapy optometrist. So when somebody has had surgery, we need to do surgery, we need to do physical therapy afterwards, so that they can integrate the programming, the operating system, with the new information that's in the eye. If you do that, you can mitigate a lot of the deterioration that comes in. The last point I want to make, and I mentioned this at my class, is that in 2018, the New York Times did an expose on the FDA. And LASIK surgery. And actually, the person who helped approve the LASIK surgery, who worked for the FDA, was quoted in the article saying that he probably wouldn't approve of the surgical procedure today because he's seen so many horror stories. And that article really reveals the shadow side of LASIK surgery, even though, on the mainstream media, It's really, very popular, and celebrities and athletes that do it. And it really can create confusion between the eyes and the brain.
Thank you. What is grounding or earthing, and how might it contribute to overall wellness and potentially impact eye health in our modern environment?
Well, grounding and earthing is an opportunity for you to get into the energy fields of the earth. And all our shoes are rubber. We don't walk barefoot anymore. And we're spending all of our time either in cars or cement. We're not in nature. And so the EMFs build up. And one of the places that I see EMFs really cause problems is if you wear metal glasses, sorry, Steve, it conducts EMFs into the eyes. So you want to go more with a plastic frame and taking your lenses off. We use grounding, but we have mats that you can, actually put your feet on when you're working on the computer. We also have it on our massage table when I'm doing craniosacral. You can even put a grounding mat on your bed if you want to. So it kind of depends on your environment. I mean, if you live in a city where there's a lot of wireless and you can't get yourself into a barefoot place in nature, then I would definitely get grounding and earthing in your apartment or your house. Definitely helps. Now, if you can get out into nature, and you can get into the Schumann wave, which is a very slow frequency that comes into our body and resets us. If you can do that, and you can meditate, and you can walk in bare feet, and then, you don't need the grounding mat. But I think it's really important. A lot of holistic health practitioners talk about it. It's the real deal.
What are your recommendations for individuals who spend many hours working on digital screens to mitigate potential eye strain and damage?
Well, first of all, I would recommend having their optometrist prescribe or at least test their eyes that what is the best prescription at the computer. One of the things that happens that I see a lot is that people get a distance prescription, but that prescription's for 20 feet. And so when they use it at the computer, it's going to create eye strain. It's too strong for them. That's on the nearsighted side. On the farsighted side, if you're wearing reading glasses, like when you look at your phone, that magnification is going to be too strong for you at the computer, so that you want to get a weaker magnification lens at the screen distance. I think it's important to, at the very least, take frequent breaks, set up things where you can deflect the EMFs, whether it's crystals or you can get these EMF protectors. Very important. I think getting out in the morning natural sunlight is also critically important. Of course, blue protection is part of it. And hydrate, 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 hydrate. Well, I don't know if anybody at your conference has talked about the benefits of hydrogen water. We're using it now to be part of the support of macular problems and cataracts. So hydrogen water, structured water, I'd be drinking really high potency water, really, really good. And I use essential oils. We might distill those in the environment. So you're oxygenating and hydrating. You can even sit on a PMF mat if you want. So there's a lot of things that you can do to mitigate what happens. What EMFs do to you, but that's just kind of a broad brush.
Thank you. You mentioned vision therapy can reprogram the eyes and brain. Can you provide an example of how this works for a specific condition?
All right, so let's say somebody comes in and they're having eye strain and their eyes are getting worse. So there's a test that I can do which measures how well their two eyes are working together. So this is vision. They read the eye chart at distance very well, so there's no problem with eyesight and 20 feet. But what I'm finding is that when they look at this certain picture, their brain is suppressing the left eye. So they're right-handed, the right eye dominant. Okay, so we are able to identify that the left eye is suppressing and the right eye is doing more of the work. Unless you do a test like that, you're never going to discover that issue, but it means that the right eye is carrying the load. Okay, so there's a great exercise that I recommend called the Braak string. This is a string. If you can visualize it, it's got three beads and a string. And you tie one end to the doorknob and you spread the three beads. So the first bead is about 12 inches from the eyes, the second bead is 24 inches, the third bead is, say, 36 inches. So one end of the string is on the doorknob, the other end is at the nose, and the first bead, say, is here, the second bead, the third bead. This is a great way to have them focus both eyes at the first bead, and they might say something like, "Oh my goodness, the left string is fading out on me when I look at that close bead. I now understand that my left eye is shutting off." So we ask them to go into their breathing, to blink, to feel their body, to relax into it. Oh, now the left string is coming in with the right string. I see if I relax, now my two eyes are working together. Now I look at the second bead. Oh my, this left string is shutting off again. If I relax and blink and breathe, and maybe I have to touch the bead, now that left string is coming back. And then I do the third bead, and then the second bead, and the first bead. So I'm going to do this exercise for 1 minute, three times a day. And what will happen over a few days, that left eye starts to turn on. And when it turns on, it will start to work with the right eye. So after about a week, the person says, "You know, I'm working on the computer now. I'm not getting that eye strain or red eyes. It's going away." 2 weeks, it's going away more. 3 weeks, wow, I'm actually able to work for a whole hour. My eyes feel really good. So that is a very simple way to discover, oh, my left eye is suppressing. Let me bring it back in. After 3 weeks, now my two eyes are working together. I've got vitality back into my eyes. So that's one example of a physical therapy exercise.
Thank you. Just as a general thought, if someone was, again, highly motivated, what should our relation with the sun be? Is this something where you're saying get sun in the early morning? Are you saying get 20 minutes, an hour, 6 hours, 12 hours? What would be perfect if someone was motivated regarding our relation with sunlight?
Well, just the general mainstream person, what I would say is that getting 30 minutes of natural sunlight in the morning, as long as it's not triggering a blink reflex, so you don't have to look directly in the sun, even if it's cloudy outside, you're still getting the sun. You can wear a hat, you can, you don't want to look directly at the sun, go walk. That's a good time to do it. The more advanced people, I would say end of day is also great. We get color therapy at that time because usually around sunset, sometimes we get the different colors and our eyes need different colors. Red is more stimulating, violet, purple, blue, green is more relaxing. So that would be a way to get color therapy. But I think we've been taught to be afraid of the sun. I think there's a lot of fear out there and I think it's really overblown. Yes, UV in high amounts can change the lens health, but we actually need trace amounts of UV. One of the people that I love, I'll mention his book, John Ott, it's called Health and Light. And one of the things Ott talked about was something called malillumination, just like malnutrition. And what he would say is that we're not getting the proper light diet. I remember an example of this in my office. I had a very busy office and I had seven people working up front. They were processing all the insurance claims. And there was always a lot of conflict and fighting and, just bad vibes. So one weekend I went in and I changed the light bulbs to full spectrum fluorescent lights. And I didn't tell the staff. So about a week later, we had a meeting and they said, "Geez, what did you change? We're feeling so much better in the front office." And I told them, and they said, "Ah, that makes sense. Now we're now in natural full spectrum lighting and our bodies are less stressed. We're more open to it." So full spectrum lighting is like full spectrum living. And we need to get away from artificial light. We need to get away from the digital, and we need to go into a space where we're getting the natural sunlight. Speaking of light, I'm going to put the light on here. So hold on a second. Thank you. Okay, next question.
So just to be clear, so if I, is it dangerous to be outside too much? Like, is it bad if you're a gardener and you spend all day outside? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for your eyes?
Well, if I was a gardener, a forest ranger, or a lifeguard, I would certainly be investing in a good pair of sunglasses. And a lot of it depends on my skin health, how sensitive I am to the sun. I think using sunglasses is actually a really good thing. I think you want to get a good neutral brown or neutral gray, pay a little bit more and get a high quality sun lens. But again, we're talking moderation. You get that natural light in the morning, 30 minutes. I know for me, I like to hike. So sometimes today I was hiking with my dog, and for part of the time I was wearing sunglasses because I was right in the sun. And then we were up at a stream playing up there, and the sun was indirect, so I took my sunglasses off. I do a lot of skiing. I ski up in Taos and I wear sunglasses. I go out in the ocean and I wear sunglasses. There's nothing wrong with that. I think what it is you need to feel your body and give your eyes and your body what it wants. Talk to your eyes. If it's too bright, it's perfectly fine to wear sunglasses. If you're driving into the sun, wear sunglasses. Now, where you are, the sun isn't quite as extreme as where we are in the desert southwest. So I might wear sunglasses a little more than, say, where you are. But if you're sensitive, protect yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fear part of it changes the neurochemicals in the brain, and that's where the issue comes in. I want to have good levels of serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin. I want to embrace the sun, and I also want to be sensible about it. As soon as I go into my fear, what happens? My cortisol levels go up, my dopamine and serotonin go down. So be aware of what your mind is doing and understand that. Basically, we're heliocentric. We go towards the sun, just like the plants. And then we just have to moderate how much and how long.
And if we every day want to take a 3 or 4 hour walk outside, we seem to like the sun, we don't really want to wear sunglasses. Are you comfortable or are we doing damage to our eyes?
Yeah, we're comfortable with that. We're comfortable with that. And you know what? You can always check in with your eye doctor and eye health, see what's going on with your macular health and your lens. I'd recommend routine exams so you can monitor that. So if you start developing a cataract, you can go, okay, why is that? Is it because of the sun? Is it because of my sugar? So, I think it's really important to check in and go to your doctor, whoever that is, and just get a baseline on what is going on in your health. I know a lot about health. I know a lot about nutrition. But I do not prescribe for myself. I go to doctors and they tell me what I need. So I am not, an ego about that, saying, well, I know. I go to people because I don't know what I need.
Okay. What should we do? Thank you. What should we do? What is your best recommendation about the light bulbs in our house?
Well, I think, we've got the LED conversation, and that's the blue light. I would say in as many cases as you can, get full spectrum lighting. Kind of depends again, like if you're in an apartment and you don't get a lot of natural light, I would probably focus in on getting more full spectrum lighting. That would be my intention. If you live in a place where you're getting natural light in the windows, then it's less of an issue. I think that again, a lot of it depends on the toxicity of where you live, and go from there. That's how I would
So does that
navigate.
mean to get incandescent bulbs or LED bulbs? What does that actually mean in terms of what bulb
Well,
I have?
what it means is my Primary would probably be incandescent and getting full spectrum. There's things called the Ott lights. You can go online and now they've got a lot of different full spectrum lights. I would probably move away from LEDs if I could. Another thing you've got to consider is winter. And again, if you're sensitive, sad, I would get yourself a full spectrum light box where you're treating yourself with that. That's another piece to the puzzle. But full spectrum, incandescent, and see what you can do.
Okay. One more time, full spectrum. What does that mean in terms of buying a bulb? Like, do bulbs say full spectrum on them or not? Like, what is I
Yeah,
own?
you can again go online, type in full spectrum light bulbs and see what comes up. Sometimes they're compact fluorescents, sometimes they're incandescent. They come in different ways, but the reason why it's full spectrum is that you've got, again, you can eat food, artificial food or fast food. That's like the light that is artificial light. Or you can eat a full spectrum food diet, and light is basically a food. It's just in a different form. So you want to look for the term full spectrum indoor lighting. That would be what you want to look for and see what comes up. I think that's a really good thing to think about.
Thank you. In terms of light therapy, have you already described light therapy or have we not discussed that?
No, we haven't really discussed it. So there's two ways we can talk about it. One is photobiomodulation, which I know some of your folks have talked about the benefits of red light therapy. Not so much for the eyes because it's too bright. One of the things that I have developed are actually, I call them red exercise glasses. So they have the 670 nanometers in the lens. That's a pair of glasses, and you can control the brightness of the light source. That works really well. So that's one form of the red light therapy. There's also another form of light therapy where you're using all the colors of the spectrum. And we want to put down blue light, but once you get up to like 475 nanometers, that blue light actually is really good to release trauma, and also it stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system. There's a color therapy treatment protocol, which I'll share with you. We actually did it the other day. You can either do this by getting all the main colors of the spectrum, Roy G. Biv, in glasses. And the way it works is you're going to treat yourself with the rainbow of colors. So you start off with the red glasses. You put them on. You ask yourself, what do I see and how does it make me feel? And that particular red may stimulate the root chakra. It may bring up some memories. Again, color and light trigger the hidden energies behind the eyes. That's one of the things that's why color therapy is so amazing. You wear that for 2 minutes, take that off, then you put the orange on. Same thing. What do I see? What do I feel? And the feeling, the emotion is very important to connect to it. Again, 2 minutes. Move to yellow, then to green, then to blue green, then the blue, then the violet. So if you do that spectrum of rainbow colors, I did research on it using a special energy field camera and chakras when I was at the Esalen Institute. And we did a study where we measured people doing that very treatment before, we measured their energy, and then after, and we found their chakras were much more lined up, their energy fields were much bigger, and their acupuncture meridians were much more balanced. This was getting light into the eyes. This is how we did the study. So, doing this energy color therapy every day, and then you could combine it by using aromatherapy. We, in my trainings, we use seven different aromatherapy color oils that match the colors. And we can also add sound to it. So you can add sound healing. So by doing that, it's working on the energy of the body, the energy field. And it's a way to really kind of clear out all the disharmony. If there's a color or colors you don't like, you probably have a color allergy. So that color, you want to treat yourself a little more so that you would release whatever the disharmony was, and then you'd be more full spectrum yourself. Because whatever, wherever you're not receiving that color, you're probably attracting that life experience into your life. That's kind of what we do. We attract what we need to heal. So the color therapy in that way works really, really well. And again, you can get these glasses on Amazon, or you can look for a rainbow color machine. It's wonderful. You can also do it with each eye separately. You can also intuitively say, oh, I think I need green today. So you could do 10 minutes of that. If you're in eye pain or you're dealing with traumatic brain injury, I would do a blue or blue green. That helps reduce trauma. If you're low energy or you want to cleanse your liver, I would do a yellow or yellow green, or an orange. So, you can work with it intuitively. You can do all the colors. You can start with the indigo violet and work your way back to the red if you want. 30-day challenge. Do it for 30 days and you will see differences in your vision, your awareness, your consciousness. And it's a really cool way to balance your health.
Thank you. Your lecture title, The Eyes Never Lie, suggests a strong link between vision and overall health. In your experience, what is the one of the most surprising systemic conditions you've identified through an eye examination?
Depletion in the body, depletion of minerals and B vitamins. There are certain visual coordination tests which require pretty heavy duty eye muscle focusing, eye muscle sustaining. And when people start going into double vision in these tests and their resiliency is low, and I look at their iris readings, depending on what the markings say, I can pretty much tell they're probably going to get osteoporosis or osteopenia. They've got a lot of inflammation in the digestive tract. Their pancreas is not working very well. Their liver and gallbladder are not working well. Their connective tissue may be weak in certain areas, which leads to things like hernias and hiatal hernias and hemorrhoids and things like that. So there's so many levels and layers that you can look into the eyes and you can see all the mapping systemically, metabolically, even spiritually. And from that, you can start asking questions and fill in the blanks and then come up with a protocol to help the person. That's why I call it whole health. It's not just the eyes. Yes, the eyes are going to benefit, but the whole health is involved. Again, that's part of my naturopathic optometry hat that I wear.
What is iridology, and is that something that you believe in, where people kind of analyze your eyes and then give a full breakdown on your health? Is that something you believe in or support?
Well, I've got trained in it, certified in it. So yes. So the iris, if we think of re reflexology, the feet, there's a map on the feet. So the iris, over hundreds of years of different doctors categorizing, I have a picture right here. This is a map of the iris, and this was invented by in this country, Bernard Jensen, who was a naturopath. And so I've studied with his family. It's kind of obvious that the iris, because of all the nerves and all the connections that has been mapped out way before me, iridology. And by the way, we don't diagnose and we don't treat with iridology. And the goal is not to change the color of your eye or the pigment. That anybody that says that's not really iridology. Iridology is analyzing the color part of the eye. I take very detailed pictures, put it up on a big monitor, and from that, we can be proactive in talking about different health patterns. And we ask history, so maybe it's not affecting them, but there's a genetic tendency. So the right eye is the father lineage and the left eye is the mother lineage. And so we can tell, was there diabetes on the father's side? Was there thyroid issues on the mother's side? So based on, the genetic tendencies and what I call nurture points. So nothing is wrong here. We're not diagnosing cancer or whether somebody is pregnant or anything like that. We're just looking at nurture points, okay? And then based on that, using herbs, using functional nutrition, using color therapy, many different in my toolbox, it's another tool that can help us really individualize a person's treatment.
Could you, if someone was on a computer, could you look at their eyes through the computer and understand their health?
Sure. I mean, I could, both on how the eyes look and also how they're using their eyes and also the responses they're giving based on certain prompts and probes. So, for example, if somebody's nearsighted, I'll have them put on a farsighted prescription, and I'll ask them, "What's your belief system on blur?" And 9 times out of 10, they'll be in a hypervigilant state, attitude-wise, and I'll say, "That's the reason why you've become nearsighted, because of your hypervigilant attitude. So, when did you start wearing your glasses?" And so the healing part of that is, can I give them an exercise so in a non-demanding situation, they're spending a few minutes relaxing into the blur, and when they do that, their hypervigilant attitude relaxes, and then their eyesight clears, and it becomes like, wow, I see that I've been doing this to myself. It's that programming behind the eyes that creates the eye problem.
Thank you. How far should we be from our TV, and does TV damage our eyes, and does it matter the size of the screen?
Yes, the size of the screen matters and how close we are. I think you need to be at least 6 to 8 feet away. You don't want to be squinting. If you have a higher risk of eye problems, then I would probably get a blue protection lens for the TV. This means like cataract surgery or macular degeneration, or you're just concerned about the blue light, and frequent breaks. So as long as you're far enough away from the TV, you're fine. And then whether you want to wear blue protection, that's kind of individual based on what your health situation is like.
And what if we have these new large 75, 85-inch TVs? Does that concern you?
It depends on how close we are to the TV, but yeah, I mean, you've got EMFs, you've got blue light. So you need to protect yourself by sitting farther away from it, so you're not as bombarded by the energy that comes off those. I mean, the way you could check it is get yourself an EMF measurer and just see what what's coming off the screens, and that'll tell you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Dr. Byrne, why don't you share your overall final summarizing thoughts of what you want to share with us or leave with us regarding eye health, and then also how we could stay in touch with you. Do you have a website, books? Do you do consultations? What's the best way to follow up?
Okay, so the first thing is that if an eye problem comes up and you go to your family eye doctor, definitely take somebody with you as a witness so that they can take notes, because it's going to be a scary situation whenever we have some health issue come up. And whatever they say, you want to make sure that the overall goal would be, okay, my mindset is I believe in mind-body medicine. I believe in holistic health. So can my doctor give me something in that genre to help me with that? Now, if they cannot do that, then the best case scenario is you get the information and you go, okay, I'm going to start working on this. So on my website, drsamburn.com, I have over, I would say, 400 free videos. Okay. And if you go to learn, the drop down menu, and you click on podcasts, for example. Okay. You see the categories? You can scroll on that and click on anything that you would like, and that will take you to video blogs, written blogs, podcasts, and that's all free. There's no, I don't charge for that. Now, if you want more exclusive content, what you can do is you can go to my membership site. So I guess if you click on Dr. Byrne again, okay, see where it says join membership? So that I set up for people where that's exclusive content. It's not on social media. I'm creating new stuff every day. And, join our community. I have a practitioner side, and I also have a, just a layperson side. You can get 7 days free before you have to commit. You can quit at any time. My customer service is really good. So if you have any problems, we're very honest. Whatever you need, we'll help you with. So that would be another way you could connect with me. And the third way is that if you want to do a private session, even if it's on Zoom, you can. Usually, what I recommend is sending some iRecords to me, and then I can look at those, and then we can do a Zoom appointment. And of course, if you're local and you want to travel here, we can do that as well. Last thing, if you're any kind of a practitioner, I'm doing practitioner trainings now, and you don't need to be an optometrist or ophthalmologist. You're just going to be more of a coach, and we gear it towards what your professional background is: massage therapy, occupational therapy, naturopathy, acupuncture, whatever. I need to share this information. I'm on the shady side of the mountain. I'm not going to be here forever. I need to pass this information on to health practitioners. The eye doctors aren't interested, so this is why I'm going this route. So you got lots of ways. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. So I put out a podcast once a week. Been doing that a long time. So lots of ways to get a hold of me.
Well, that
There you
was
go.
fantastic, Dr. Byrne. Really, really
Yeah.
appreciate you sharing this. I really do feel like we've stumbled on some great information. So,
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks for what you're doing. Good luck, and wish you a great spring and summer.
okay. And if we could unmute everyone so everyone could thank Dr. Byrne themselves.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
you.
Thank you,
Thank
Dr.
you
Byrne.
very much.
Great to be
Thank you.
on.
Thank you.
Yes,
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.